What does that sound, you ask?
Welcome to the Rec Show Podcast, a show dedicated to beatmakers around the world. Kick back, relax with the host, Golden Mind.
Yo, that's how we starting off the show. Welcome to episode 101. Yeah. Yo, this is Trill Mix from the Nix Mix by Nick Lovin', man. One of my FABC Austin, Texas brothers. Check it out, man. That's the intro track. Click on the link in the description of the show. You're doing some amazing things. Music is out of this world, man. But we'll be back. Peace and love, yo. Yeah. Check, check, 1, 2, peace and love, everybody. Golden Mind here for the Rec Show Podcast. You already know what it is, man. We already over that hump of 100, and we still going up into the stratosphere, man. We got another mutant that's going to be, you know, giving us, you know, his story, you know what I mean, what he's about. The beats I've been listening to is crazy. But before we get to this interview, let me go back, man. Episode 100. Is official, man. We started at episode 100 with Anthony Church, you know what I mean, Anthony_Church23. Find him on IG. He's the host of the Proven Knowledge Podcast, always tapping in with amazing artists, beat makers, engineers, like all that type of stuff. Tap in with the Proven Knowledge Podcast as well, because that's not what we're not just going, you know what I mean, keep everything to us. We branch out into other podcasts, and if everybody's doing other things with podcasts, we're gonna tap that too, you know what I mean? So that's what we're doing. Episode 100, tap into that. The week before that, or actually about 3 weeks before that, we had Bap Notes Music, a dope band from Sacramento, California, man. So I need y'all to tap in with that as well. Yo, let's get to this week, man. Yo, I got an amazing beat maker, man. You know what I mean? He's a graphic designer. He's a DJ. He's a skateboarder. He's we're going to find out what else he's into, man. But he's pretty much an all-around, like, arts, music, like, all that type of stuff, man. So we're going to get to our guest, who's hails from Connecticut, man. Connecticut is a haven for dope artists, man. Dope artists. I'm talking about visual art. I'm talking about music art. I'm talking about graphics. I'm talking about all of that type of stuff, man. Connecticut is like, I think Connecticut is slept on, man. So I want to welcome the one and only Mark Little to the show. Mark Little, what's good? Welcome to the show, fam.
Oh, man, thank you for having me, man. Appreciate it. Super excited to talk about some music stuff and all sorts of other things.
Yeah, man. Yo, allow me to geek out. You know what I'm saying? that's what we do here. We geek out on music and tech and, you know, art and all that type of stuff, man. So, yo, thank you for allowing me to have you on the show. And for the B-heads that don't know, they better slap themselves right now. You know what I mean? But after this, they're going to go in and tap in with you. But for the B-heads that don't know who you are, can you introduce yourself? You know, how you got your name. I don't know if that's your government name or your real name, your stage name, but then also any collectives that you might be a part of as well.
Yeah. So Mark Little is my stage name, and it has two meanings. My real name is Mark, obviously, but I'm named after my father, so Mark Jr. And the second meaning is that I'm short, like kind of like Five Dog, like the 5 foot assassin. So it's like kind of a play on that. I was part of a collective years back when I first started making beats called Black Verbs, but then we disbanded. Like, I'm still cool with the guys and everything, and they've done their music ventures on their own. So that's kind of how I got started with everything, but I can explain that like in a greater detail. So yeah, just doing all the solo stuff right now, being a beat maker and everything. So
yo, man, so yo, we're going to talk about your history. First of all, the name choice is dope. That's dope. And is it my understanding, like, you're a military kid as well, correct?
Yeah. So Navy. So my pops was in the Navy for about 30 years. So literally, like, my entire life, that's all I knew. So I didn't stay in Connecticut when I was born. I lived all over the world. So I was born in Florida, and then I lived in Washington State, Georgia. I lived in Italy for a few years, and then in 2005, I moved to Connecticut, and I've been here for 18 years. So I always say that Connecticut's home to me because it's where I really grown, like, as a person, and how I really discovered music. Like, it's where I made the most friends at, too. So I went from here to elementary to college, and now working in Connecticut. So yeah, I call Connecticut home. People like to bash on it sometimes because there's nothing to do. There's lots of things to do. I think, like I said, Connecticut gets overlooked because it's between New York and Boston, which you have two major cities, obviously. So Connecticut doesn't get a shine, but Connecticut is really beautiful, man. There's a lot of amazing things that be coming out here. So I'm always gonna rep CT no matter what.
Amazing, man. Yo, first of all, thank you for serving, because it's not just the military member that serves, it's the dependents as well, man. So me being an Air Force vet, man, I appreciate the children, man, that go through all of that. They go through it too, man, moving from place to place, school to school, got to start all over, man. So
yeah,
thank you, man. So yo, and thank your pops, man, for serving 30 years in the Navy.
Sheesh. Yeah, long time. just something he did after college. He just felt like it was just his calling. And, man, just super blessed because even though we moved around a lot and stuff, but I was so exposed to so many different cultures and different ethnic backgrounds and stuff, it definitely shaped me who I am. So I'm super grateful for that. Not a lot of people are able to experience that. So I think if I didn't have that, I wouldn't be the person who I am today for sure. So
right. Yeah. If you don't mind me asking, like, what countries were you able to experience during that time period?
Italy. It was Italy. I moved there in 2003. So that's the funny thing is that's the same year when I really got into skating as well. I got my first skateboard around that time. And that's when like everything kind of started to trickle down with like this musical journey that I'm still a part of now. So those are like the origins from that. And wow, like Italy was just, it was beautiful, man. I still remember it like to this day. Just beautiful water, beautiful weather, like small island, but it was amazing. Like I was able to go to Germany for a little bit and visit Rome. Like it was great. I want to go back to see like where I live, how it looks now and stuff. Mm-hmm. But you know how it is, life gets busy. So
yeah, man. Yo, and for my listeners, man, all the mutants that listen to the show, man, listen, travel around the world, man. The world is so much bigger than just the United States of America, yo. Trust me.
Definitely. Man.
So, you know, I did. That's the only place I didn't go, and I wanted to go to it was to Italy, but they got nukes up there. I ain't messing with them. But yeah, man. So, okay. Well, speaking of how your music journey, man, how did you even get into creating music and, you know, making beats and then even starting to perform it as well?
Wow. So yeah, we're going to go all the way back.
Yeah.
So when I lived in Washington State at the time, I was about 4 or 5 years old, and my father has a really good friend in Oregon. So we did like a weekend trip or whatever. And he had an older daughter that was into like music, video games and all types of stuff. And she had a PlayStation 1. And she puts this one game in, and it was a Tony Hawk Pro Skater. So that was like the first time I saw skateboarding and everything. But not only that, with the game's also notorious for its soundtrack and stuff. So when I first heard the music, I was like, whoa, this is crazy. I didn't know what it was. All I know is it was really cool. And then I moved to Georgia in 2001. So I was around 6, so like a year or two later. And I got the game. I got Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and Pro Skater 2. Meanwhile, like my parents, they would play all different types of music around the house, especially with R&B and jazz and rap. So I'm getting feeded all different types of music from my parents. And then playing the game more, I'm discovering more music. So I'm learning about different genres like rock, punk, hip hop, dance, you name it. So everything. And then that's kind of when I really got inclined with music. And then in 2003, I moved to Italy, like I mentioned before. And then that's when I really started to skate. So with skateboarding, you have skateboarding videos and they have soundtracks, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was getting discovered with all these different types of music. So I was learning about Madlib, Loopack, MF Doom, like a bunch of rappers and producers that are obviously very impactful in all these different types of music, like De La Soul, Tribe. So from early on, I was getting a sense of like, whoa, this stuff is dope. But I didn't know who it was at the time. Mm. I just knew that it sounded really good. So years goes by, and I'm in middle school and whatnot, and I'm starting to get into hip-hop more. And my pops, he's teaching me like the greats like Rakim and Nas and Jay-Z and DMX. And I was always the type of kid, whenever I got into something, I liked to learn the history of it. So I was like, I need to find out like how rap got to how it was at that time. So you gotta imagine 2006, 2007, it was the ringtone era. So you had like Laffy Taffy, Soulja yeah. Boy, like all that stuff. Now I'm a kid, I'm 11 and 12, so I like that stuff. So, and at the same time, you had Kanye and Lil Wayne was doing his thing at the time. So a lot was going on. But through learning about hip hop, I started learning about Common, Mos Def, Tribe, Madlib, Doom, Dilla. And when I learned about Dilla, Doom, and Madlib, like the three gods, basically, It blew my mind because I never heard music like that before, especially how it was sampled and the different sounds that they would use and how they would rap and how creative they were. It was mind-boggling. Something like clicked in my head, like, yo, this is the illest thing I ever heard in my entire life. And then I heard DJ Premier and Pete Rock, and I was just mesmerized by it, because I was like, whoa, like, how come no one be talking about this or whatever? And I realized it's such a cult following or whatever that people really hone that type of rap down. So I was more so into the production than the raps. I love how the sample sound and the instrumentation and everything. So I was like, dang, how did he do that? Me being a nerd, obviously, started searching more, started learning that these producers will have beat machines or make their beats on the computer, and just learning about like the SP and like the MPC 3000, just geeking out like, wow, like they're able to make all this stuff on this big machine, you know? Mm. So eighth grade that summer, I got FL Studios Fruity Loops, which I still use to this day.
Shout out to FL Gang. Yes.
that's the thing right there. So I started learning on Fruity Loops, and obviously you got to learn how, you know, to make beats and stuff. So for a long time, I was learning how to make beats, but I didn't really tell a lot of people. I was always the type of kid that always kind of kept things kind of to myself and whatnot. So I was learning for a few years, and then in high school, I started getting a little bit better, and then I met this group of kids, and then we started like a small collective called Black Birds, and a really good friend of mine, his name is Tyreek. He also goes by Team Wayne Kid, great producer, great friend. He essentially taught me how to make beats, like how to chop samples, how to arrange your beats, and like look for what's good in melodies within sampling and everything. So it took years to kind of get down and master that craft, but I would say probably like when I was in college, maybe 2016 2017, I know I'm like gapping years and stuff, that's when it like really clicked. Mm-hmm. And the beats that I make now, it just kept progressing more and more and more and more. And it's been like that for the past 5 to 6 years now. And man, what a journey it has been. Of course, I've had my ups and downs and everything. But I would say what really took it over the edge is that after one of my older albums called Eternal Black Boy, which came out in 2019, that's when I started wanting to get the SP-404SX. And I was super inspired by DiBiase, who was an amazing beat maker, and knowledge and mind design, and just there's such, and Flying Lotus, and there's such a whole crew of beat makers during that time. Ross G, rest in peace, who used the SP-404 for live performances. And I was like, dang. I was like, my beats sound like that, but imagine being able to live mix and perform live with that machine. So I remember thinking to myself, like, I'm a broke college student now, but when I have the money, I'm going to buy it. And it was probably the height of the pandemic when I had the money, when I got it. And that literally changed everything. Once I got the SP-404, I was like, okay, now it's finally time to do what I got to do. In the past 3.5 years, it's been an amazing journey being able to perform all over New England, in New York and everything. Like, wow, it's speechless. I don't even have words for it. So yeah, that's basically my musical journey. I know that was such like random time gaps and stuff, but nah, that's like explained it.
Yeah, you good, man. Yo, listen, so that was your, When you got the SP-404SX, right? That was your level up moment.
Pretty much, yeah.
What is it about the SP that, you know, it seems like once a beat maker, music producer, composer gets that tool, it's like another level up, man. What is it about it? Because I feel the same way about my SP. I never dealt with an SP before until last year, actually.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. Yeah, man. I don't know, man. It's just one of those things where, like, the rawness and the creativity of this, what you can do with the SP, is just amazing. Like, I made some beats obviously off the SB404, but just the different effects you can control, the way you can transition to your other beats playing live, and then also people's reaction when you play those live beats. People are always like, yo, like, how do you do that? Like, you don't have no screen or nothing like that. Like, you're just basically just off by ear. Like, yeah, it's practice, you know? You got to learn how to understand it. It's kind of like old school DJing. But I don't know, something about that machine is just, it's just, I don't know. It's just hard to explain. It's just amazing. I just knew that if I was going to go in the direction that I wanted to be, I knew that getting an SP would help a lot. And it's been helping, seriously. Like, I don't think if I didn't get an SP, I would not be in a position where I'm at now. I think things still could have been working out, you know, but without it, none of this would really transpire and manifest the goals that I wanted to achieve. So,
Yo, thank you for persevering through your, you know what I mean, the down times, you know, because, you know, as creatives, man, we start something and we go full force, full head into it. You know what I mean? We learning about it. We doing it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And then it's a point to where we like, damn, man, nobody's paying attention. Man, maybe it's me. Maybe it's not that good of a of a product, you know, like whether it be music, art, clothing, anything like that. But then there's a point to where you like, you know what, freak it, man, I don't care, man, I'm just making it for me, you know what I mean? And if the world likes it, then come with me, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, what do you attribute you getting over that hump through the dark times, man?
Oh yeah, I think that's what makes me who I am, honestly. I think just growing up, being in a space where you never really fit in, especially the hobbies that you do, people tend to look at you kind of weird and treat you differently. So I've understood that for a very long time. And especially when you start getting into the musicals, art scene, it's hard to break that mold because everybody's doing the same thing, what's hot, you know? And when you do something so different, so foreign, people are not going to get it, and they kind of try to like sun you in a way. And I've been in those experiences where it sucked. It hurts your gut and it makes you like feel like you want to quit and everything, but you gotta be like, screw that. Like, this is who I am. I'm not apologizing who I am. Take it or leave it. If you like it, cool. If you don't, then whatever, you're missing out. And I think what also helps too is just having the right circle around you. Like, the people that are helping me out or like my close friends that come to my shows and really support are my cheerleaders. Like, without them, I wouldn't keep going. So the fact that like I have them in my life like that, it helps so much, you know? And you just can't let the BS get to your head. You know, you got to remind yourself that you are worthy of something when it comes to this music stuff. So,
Yo, you giving them crazy jewels right now, yo. Like, y'all listen, internets, man. We here with Mark Little, man. Listen, Connecticut beat maker, DJ, graphic designer, skateboarder. Like, yo, he doing it all. But I, man, you just gave him a crazy gem, man. Just don't apologize for being who you are, man.
It's true, man. And you gotta, When I watched this interview with Doom, it was like a Red Bull interview or something like that. But the biggest thing that he said was follow your heart. And he was basically saying that, like, people not understand what you're doing, but you got to follow your heart no matter what. And that's something that, like, I really, really took in. And I always follow that saying is literally follow your heart no matter what people think. It may not be today or tomorrow, but people are going to catch on.
Yo, man, you already gave him like 10 jewels already. Yo. Like, yo man. So, okay. Let me get to, my next question, man, which is, you already named your top three, right? So Dilla, yeah. Madlib, I think it was, and Doom.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
That's the gods right there, right? So
yeah.
Your pops, and I'm pretty sure your mom's was like putting you on crazy game early, man.
Oh, yeah.
With hip hop. And, you know, we celebrate in the 50th year of hip hop this year. I think August 14th is the birthday of hip hop.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Which is so crazy. Man. To think, like, there's so much history, so little time.
Right. 50 years, yo, we've in hip hop, and I say we because we are contributing to the legacy of hip hop, you know what I'm saying, as a culture, you know, like, so I wanted to ask you, like, part of hip hop, they have four pillars, right? Right. Four pillars being, you know, breaking, graphing, emceeing, DJing. But which one of those did you start your journey with?
Oh, that's tough. I would probably say DJing, because even though that's close to beat making and stuff, I always loved how the DJ was the guy that was able to break the records, you know, that was able to make the crowd have a certain type of vibe. They control the party, the narrative, and the whole aesthetic and everything. So when I first learned about hip hop, I was like, man, being a DJ must be so cool. Like, you're the guy that plays the dope music. Like, no one's trying to ask you to play such and such. Like, they trust your musical knowledge and everything. So for me, I would definitely have to say the DJ aspect of hip hop. But those original four are important too. I mean, you can't forget about the breakdancing aspect, especially the MCing. I mean, if you playing good music over like a good instrumental and the MC can rap over something that's pretty dope, like a quick 8-bar or quick 16-bar, dope, you know? And I'm just glad that people are still acknowledging those four core elements of that.
Yeah, man. Like, we gotta respect the history. And part of what's great about this show, in my opinion, is we're documenting history with the different mutants from different planets, man. Y'all be on different planets with y'all music, man. I love coming to visit with y'all. You know what I mean? I'm speaking crazy right now, but you know what I mean.
Of course.
So, but man, all right. So let me ask you this. If you can, and this one might be another hard one, but I'm pretty sure you got it. If you're able to, can you name that one, or it might be two or three beats, that when you heard them, like, it just wrecked you, man. It just made you like, yo, what the heck is this? Like, Ooh. Who made this? How did they make it? That type of reaction. Yeah.
Goosebumps reaction. I could probably give you two or three. The first one I can say, the top of my head, is Doomsday by Doom. Which was crazy to me because obviously that's an original Sade record, but I'll never forget when I heard this record for the first time. And one day I was listening to like an internet radio on the internet. I don't remember the website it was, but I was like in my room listening to it, and then I heard Doom come in and then it plays the loop, obviously. And I was like, what? I was like, this dude sampled Sade. And I remember, like, it had his name, like, MF Doom, Doomsday. And I wrote it down on, like, a piece of paper. And I looked it up the next day on YouTube. And I looked at the instrumental. And literally, I had that beat just looped for, like, no BS, probably 30 minutes to an hour. Because what I was hearing was insane. I've never heard drums like that before. And how can you incorporate a sample like that? It was wild, you know, and... Also, my pops is a huge Sade fan, so that's like a shout out to him. Mm-hmm. Another beat that I went crazy over is Freeway is What We Do. I believe Just Blaze produced that one.
Yeah,
man. And I'm a huge Just Blaze fan. And when I heard the way that was sampled, I couldn't believe it. And the way those drums come in and how it's like, din, 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 like crazy, like classic Just Blaze. And yeah, like I said, like I feel like he's underrated. It's cool that he still gets his shine and everything, but I feel like he doesn't get his flowers enough. Like, bro, that's Just Blaze. Like, what do you do with NBA Street Volume 2? Like, all the beats he did that for, like, come on.
It's crazy times. Yeah, man. Like, yeah. Like the late, I want to say the late 90s and then 2000s, from 2000 to 2010, 12. Yeah. Somewhere around there. Like, yo, he was him, Kanye. Like, they were killing the game, yo. Like,
seriously.
Man. Oh, yeah. And I can't forget, not Nerd, but
Pharrell.
Pharrell and Chad, man. That,
yeah, they're on a different level too. Like, those guys were amazing. Like, that super producer era, it was just beautiful. It was a good time for hip hop. And then the last beat, I would say this is tough because there's a lot of songs in my head. I can't even choose right now. I'm thinking hard. I don't know which one to choose. Mm-hmm. This would be a wild card. We gonna make it. Alchemist, like, yeah. That sample is cold. Obviously, Jada and Styles P are two of my favorite rappers, and Alchemist, he's just an alien. Like, you can find the illest samples, the illest loops, and that one just worked. You know, even the original version of that sample is super dope. Like, beautiful, beautiful. So those are my three I can think of right now. I can say like 50 if I wanted to, but top of my head, yeah, those were like three beats. I was like, whoa, this is crazy. So
yeah, man, we gonna make it. How'd that start off? Oh, it started off with the trumpets. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do, 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 do,
do, do. Like, typical Alchemist fashion.
Yo, he was making anthems, man.
He really was.
Oh my gosh, man. Oh man. Okay. Listen, Alchemist, if you adjust Blaze, yo, if y'all ever listen to this show, man, yo, we giving you your flowers, yo. Yo, y'all,
yeah.
Yo, man. Y'all have inspired so many of us to create music, man. Maybe, you know, we kind of copied you a little bit, but then we find our own, you know what I mean, our own little sound that we can do. But yo, from what y'all do and what y'all have done, man, y'all flowers. Yo, all yo, you know how people be on stage after a play and they throw flowers up there?
Like, yeah.
Yo, like, that's what we would do, man. Just keep throwing flowers up there, man. Yo. Yep. Okay, so my next question, man. We already know that you are like 4-4 beast. You know what I mean? I seen a couple performances that you've done. One recently, man, it was a big stage where you were, man. Was it
Seeing Sounds Festival?
Seeing Sound Festival, yeah, that one, man. So what was that festival, first of all? And what was it like performing there?
Oh wow. So Seeing Sounds is a yearly festival that's done by my guy named Trey Moore. He's another Connecticut artist, super talented guy. Like, I call this dude a Renaissance man because he can just do everything. It's basically a bunch of artists, mainly Black artists, that are able to perform their music. And there's like smaller stages, like with different bands, different vendors, and also incorporated with skateboarding culture. And this was the second year, and I've known Trey for a while. I met him last year at a Go Skate Day event that I was DJing at in New Haven, Connecticut. We chopped it up, became really good homies. And from time to time, like, we'll see each other and stuff. And then one day, it's like early spring, he was like, hey, man. He was like, what you doing on the 404? It's really dope. He's like, I think people need to see what you really do and really experience your live sets, man. And he was like, hey, I want you to be part of the festival. And I was like, of course, yeah. So that happened on July 1st. It was two Saturdays ago, actually. Wow. Seems longer than that. And had a quick little 25-30 minute set, but man, it was dope. A lot of people were engaged and everything. It wasn't like people were standing where I was at, but people were just in their own space. They're like bobbing their heads and everything, like really feeling the vibes. And then when I started playing like the remixes that I make, like I played this one Mary J. Blige flip, and people were like, whoa, this is crazy. And then like I played a Rihanna flip and people were really bugging out about that. And it was awesome. Like after the show, a lot of people was like, yo, like I gotta follow you on like social media. Like, buy like a CD from you and stuff, which I'm like still getting used to. I'm still kind of like a low key dude. Mm-hmm. So like when people be like, yo, like that shit was kind of crazy, I'd be like, whoa, like thank you. I appreciate that. You know, I just be in my own world. You know, I don't be thinking like the bigger picture. Like I'm still a regular dude that just loves music at the end of the day. So just the amount of love and appreciation that they have for that, that really meant a lot to me. And that really made my day, man. Like, I'm always flabbergasted that people be really checking out my music like that and really, like it and stuff. So it was awesome. It was such an amazing experience. It's probably one of the best sets I've done thus far. Like, there's been a lot of great sets this year, but that one in particular was really special, for sure.
Yo, so I'm just seeing it from IG. It looked amazing. You know what I mean? You said, yo, the beats that you picked to perform, yeah. always crispy, man. But Go Skate Day. What, like, it's around, like, you've been skating for 20 years now, right? So 20 years.
Correct.
What is it about skateboarding that goes well with, you know, music and especially beat culture, to be specific?
Oh, wow. Yeah, there's so many similarities with skateboarding and music. I mean, as many skaters there are, they're also dabbled into music. So whether that's rock, whether that's funk, jazz, hip hop, both cultures within music and skateboarding, both represent like the misunderstood and the understood, especially with hip hop. And the way I see is that like hip hop and skateboarding are obviously misunderstood culture that people think that are rebellious and everything. But once you get in that culture and understand how sacred and amazing it is, you get both ideas of just like, you know what, these are people that are expressing themselves in the most purest form. And that's why with skateboarding and hip-hop, they correlate so well together, especially with beat making culture. I mean, it's just a group of people that are into the same thing, that are different from other people, regular people, and express themselves in the most coolest form. So when Go Skate Day happened, it's people from all different kinds of culture and backgrounds coming together in one area, skating, loving music, having fun. Just peace, man, literally. I know that sounds corny, but like, it's literally just peace. And the fact that I'm able to do two things in one space that I love the most, it's a dream come true, because that's all I wanted to do is play my music, or just play music in general in front of skaters that I really love and that are my friends, you know? Mm-hmm. And the fact that I'm able to do that now, it's a blessing. Like, I can't complain. Like, I'm truly grateful for that.
Yo, man, like, the simple fact that you find, yeah, like, you found your thing, you know what I mean? And you're able to share that, yo, like, that's rich, man. That's wealthy, man. You could, yo, some people go their whole lives and, you know, not tap into whatever brings them joy, man. But you found what brings you joy and you stick with it as well, man. Like, is there ever a time where you're like, you know what, man, I don't really care about skateboarding, I don't care about music today, type of thing?
I mean, I feel like I go through periods, maybe when I was younger, you know, I didn't care about skating as much because maybe around my mindset around that time around my life just wasn't the best, you know. Mm-hmm. But I feel like now, being at the age where I'm at, I'm 27, I should be 28 tomorrow. I'm not scared of shit with my age.
Hey, happy birthday, man.
Thank you. I think now, being at the mindset where I'm at right now, is the healthiest. Because I think when you first start as a kid, you have kind of the wrong reasons of doing stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be able to impress this person or that person, or be cool with this person, that person. It's not pure. You kind of lose that for a little bit. So when you go back to your roots of why you do it and why you love to do it, you have a different perspective and a greater mindset. And now you have this drive to do what you want to do, especially with two cultures that I love. So I feel like not as much, but I think when I was probably 20, 21, it was a certain point where like, yeah, I'm not feeling it. But then I got that spark back.
That spark, man. Yeah, keep that spark, man. So another question before we start talking about your music, man.
Yeah.
That you were featured on Fox 61 News where you talked about, you know, how rich the art scene is for in Connecticut. But for people that don't know, like, can you describe or paint a picture like what that is like in Connecticut for, you know, anybody that may not have never been there, or some New Yorkers, some Bostonites, some New Jerseyans that have, it's literally right up the road, but they've never been there, you know?
Yeah. People always overlook as Connecticut, like I mentioned before earlier, where it's a small state, like it only has Hartford, like it's only known for being wealthy and stuff, which is kind of true, but there's so many creative people here that just want to come together and showcase their art, whether it's music, film, photography, anything. And I feel like it really started, like, probably from my perspective, 2018 and 2019. And I don't know, people it just clicked. Like, hey, we may be a small state, but we got a lot of talented people here. Like, if we just work hard as a collective together, like the whole state, things are possible. I mean, the things that have been achieved with Trey doing the Scene Sounds Music Festival, or my good friend Josh, he has his small shop called Cafe Media, where he showcases clothes and music, anything that's incorporated with pop culture, especially in Connecticut. Or my good friend Zoe, who has a magazine line called Connecticut, where it just gives certain artists and creatives a space where they can showcase their work, a safe space too. And there'd be pop-up shops, even not just in the hip-hop aspect too, I mean, in the hardcore scene as well, and even in skateboarding. Like, we just have that pride of, like, you know what, like, we may get overlooked, but we have something special here, and it's been growing each year. And I'm just really, really stoked that I'm able to contribute something that special. You know, I'm just a dude that just love to chop beats, man, and play samples and stuff. And the fact that people are so welcoming of me to be able to contribute for that and stuff, it's cool, because I never thought that it could get to this level right now. So it's a beautiful thing to be like, you know what, I'm part of something that's special. And a lot of people like to leave Connecticut to go to New York or Boston because of bigger opportunities, which is nothing wrong, but it's something about home where you can contribute something and be a part of something. You know, like, I was able to help with that, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's that factor of just like, we can do our own thing. Like, we don't need to rely on the big cities and stuff.
Yeah, man. You know, I lived in New Jersey, like, the only time we would go to Connecticut was, there was a church that I was a part of, and it was, they had like different chapters around, you know, like Newark, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. I don't think we ever had one in New York, but it was like Connecticut, Massachusetts. I think we had one in Delaware, North Carolina. Like, it was all over the place, man. But when I seen Connecticut, I was like, yo, it's a different type of air up there. And I was younger when I noticed it, but it's like a different type of air up there. I don't know what it is. It's like, I don't know. I don't know if y'all got a vortex up there or what, but yo, it's crazy, man. Would you feel like the energy is like a lot more prevalent up there, you know what I'm saying?
I would say so. It also is kind of hard to explain too, because like, you get, I don't know, it's tough to explain. Even someone that's been living here for 18 years, it's just one of those things where it's just like, we're like kind of a hidden gem in a way, you know? So yeah, it's a hard thing to put a thumb on, you know?
I got you, man. So let's talk about your music, man. We gotta talk about Sup Dog. the volumes 1, 2, and 3. I first started listening to your music with Alternative Black Boy. So which features some amazing MCs that you got on there, man. Yo, they was killing the beats. Yo, can we talk about Alternative Black Boy real quick, man? Because
I know
it came out in 2019, which was like right before the pandemic.
Right before the pandemic, it came out September 18th of 2019.
Right.
What's so cool about that album is that it was my second album, but the first album came out on SoundCloud, which is called Dougie World. But Eternal Black Boy was kind of a pivotal point where, if you kind of listen, like, my sound was slowly changing. It was something when I really wanted, like, what I really wanted to do. So I was in that phase where it was still that Dougie World era, but with the turn of Black Boy, I was starting to get to the pocket where I'm at now. It was just like the early developments of it. So, for instance, the track was Skunks. That first track, that second track that I had with him, like, you could kind of hear the pocket that I'm usually into doing now. So for me, it was one of those albums where, like, okay, like, this is kind of like the last album where I'm still gonna still do the earlier Dougie World stuff, but this is the lane I'm about to start going in. And I think one track for me personally that really showcases that was I did a track with Tyler Luke. It was a track called Red Bank. And that was probably one of the songs where I was just like, wow, I was able to sample something that, like, really special. It was unique, and there's also some use of the SP effects involved with that as well. And that's when I knew, like, okay, like, this is where I need to go musically. People may not get it at first, which is totally fine. I was totally okay with that. But it was a special time. I think I spent like a year making that album. I like worked on it right after my very first project that I did. And it was dope. A lot of great MCs from that time too. The collective that I was in, the last track called Green Out, that was the collective that I was in at the time, and they barred out and everything. So it was a special time for sure.
Yo, man. Who? Mop Water Midnight Sky. That's a crazy name.
Yeah, that's the bro Tyler.
Yo, that's the bro. Man.
That's, you know, what's funny with him? He's actually the reason why I got an SP. He using the SP as well. He makes beats too. Talented dude. And he was like, yo, he was like, if you get an SP, he was like, this would change everything. I'll never forget, I had a conversation with him. And I was like, man, like, I just want to level up, like how you said. And he was like, bro, he was like, you know what would be perfect? He was like, SP404. He was like, cop it. He said, when you have the money, get it. So he was the main factor of that. So I always give him a thank you. Like, dude, like, you have no idea how much that changed my life, man, for real. So yeah, that's the bro though.
Yeah, what's his name?
Real name is Tyler Luke, and he's actually a graphic designer as well. Mm-hmm. And he's done like music festival before too. Like, he did his, what was it, Juice Factory 3, and like in our local area last year, that was super successful, and I was able to play some beats for that. And like, I met all of his friends and stuff. He's based in New York, so. Yeah, he still goes up under that name too, Mop Water. That name is crazy. I'm like,
that name is crazy.
Yo, he's a dope dude though. He's super, super, super creative.
Yo, man. So, yo, amazing album. For your first one, man, or your second one rather, Alternative Black Boy, available on Bandcamp right now. But yo, let's talk about this Sub Dog volumes, man. Volume 1, 2, and 3. Listen, the first one called Loops, second one is just Volume 2, and then Sub Dog 3.
Yep.
Man, yo, can you talk about those albums, man? Because I was stuck on, what's the name of that one track, man? It might have been, Think-A-Boo. It might have been Think-A-Boo.
Yeah, the Stevie Wonder sample. Man, yeah,
man.
Think About You. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So the Sup Dawg series is basically a series where I just had short, a minute to 30 loops that I really like making. It took about, because while I was like doing other projects, I was working on that stuff for about probably maybe like 3 to 4 years, you know? I was just stacking up a bunch of beats. I knew I was going to do something with it, but I wanted to wait the right time for that. So when the time was right and I felt like musically and I was getting more established and people were starting to know me a little bit more in the local area, I was like, you know what? It's time to like release some of this stuff. So yeah, the first one was just strictly loops, just simple, you know, chops and everything, nothing too crazy. And then I came out Sup Dawg 2 the same year as well, because Sup Dawg 1 came out in, wow, I have a terrible memory, in February? And then Sup Dawg 2 came out in the summertime, June, July time frame. And Sup Dawg 2 is the one where people really started to notice, like, oh, okay, like, this dude has his own style, like, he's doing his own thing and stuff. And half of it was made with FL Studios, and half of it was also made with the SP. But with Sup Dawg 3, that one's like my baby. it's the last of the series. And then two, I wanted to have a certain theme. So I always wanted to incorporate with skateboarding, which I love. But I was like, I have to do it at the right time when it feels right and stuff. So with Sup Dawg 3, everything that's incorporated in skateboarding related, whether it's the name, title, the visuals, the music videos that are made, everything is skateboarding incorporated. Like, there's certain gems that skaters can know, like, oh, I know what the name title he's talking about with that. It seems random to someone, someone that doesn't know about skateboarding, but to anyone that's within the skateboarding realm or knows something about skateboarding, they know, like, oh shoot, like Secret Tape, it's the Secret Tape from Tony Hawk Pro Skater, you know, or Gino's Push is about this pro skater named Gino Iannucci, you know, or The Reason is a famous skate video that Stevie Williams was in, you know, or City Stars is Kareem Campbell's skateboard company, like little gems like that. And I really wanted to make sure this was the most cohesive, the most focused, just everything. I just wanted everything to lock in with that, with Sup Dawg 3. And man, the reception, people were like, what? So I did a special show for that. I did like a special show at my local skate park at home, and I just played the entire album. And like a bunch of my friends came through, like my family came through. It was special. And then yeah, Sup Dawg 3, like ever since it came out, like the momentum for it is something that I've never seen before. So it's just one of those things, like, holy shoot, like people are really catching on, people are like really liking the album and everything. So yeah, if I had to choose my favorite one, I'm just gonna be biased and say Sup Dawg 3.
Sure. You can be biased, yo. That's your baby. That's your babies, man. Listen, yo, that album is incredible, man. For the mutants that don't know, for everybody that's listening, man, Sup Dawg 3. I'ma link all his whole catalog on Bandcamp inside of the description of the show, man. So all you got to do is just scroll down while you're listening, and you can see the different links to his social, to Mark Little's social, to everything like that, man, to the music, everything, man. Yo, the kid, yo, like, yo, the kid on Sup Dawg 2, Volume 2. I had that looped while I was like mowing the lawn. That's that joint. It goes so hard, dog. Like, yo,
oh, yeah. My,
man,
thank you, man, appreciate that. Yeah, that one's a sleeper. Man, the funny thing, that's like a 4-year-old beat that was originally gonna be on Eternal Black Boy, but I felt like it didn't fit on the album, so I was like, I'm gonna hold this one off for now. And then when I was curating the soundtrack, not the soundtrack but the album itself, I was like, bro, like the kid sounds hard. So I just like remixed it, add some new drums and everything. rework on some sampling chops and stuff. And yeah, that's how it came to be.
Man, your chops, man. Yo, we can't leave out your joke too, man. Cause
yeah,
man, that album, man, that's another sleeper, man. Yo, like people need to get, they gonna wake up when they hear your music and they be like, yo, you're a joke, and they listen to the 24 tracks that's on there, all of them just one after the other, man. So dope, man. Talk about that album, man.
Yeah, that one was super important to me too, because it was the first time where I felt a project where it was me. And what I mean by that is that if you listen to like your Eternal Black Boy and other older projects that I've had in the past, I'll just kind of just all over the place, you know, not in a bad way, but I felt like I didn't have a certain sound that was like, this is Mark Little, you know? So for your joke, I spent about 3 years making that. And that was one album where I felt like it was kind of fight or flight mode. Mm-hmm. There's just like a lot of personal things was going on in my life at the time. And the collective I was with at the time, like we disbanded and there's some stuff going on with that. So I felt like if I'm going to do this music thing and take it really serious, I need to put a stamp on an album. I made like 5 different versions of it. I've had like over 160-170 beats for it.
Wow.
Like still in the vault. Yeah, that I was making a beat like every day for that album, because I felt like if this one doesn't do anything, then I don't know. I was still sparked, but it was one of those albums where it was just like, I'm putting everything. This means so much to me. And I was inspired a lot by Knowledge and Madlib, obviously. But Madlib used to do this series called The Medicine Show.
Yeah.
And I forget which volume it was, but it was like all his older beats that he had like in the mid to late 90s and early 2000s and stuff. And I was inspired by that, and I was inspired by Knowledge. I was also inspired by Donuts from Dilla. So it was really, really important for me to hone that in. And that's when I realized something unlocked in me as a beat maker. Like, okay, this is the path I need to go on. And people still talk about that. One of my closest friends, he still talks to me about that. I'm like, dude, like, your joke is crazy. Like,
it
was such an experience that, like, and I'm like, wow, man, thank you. You know? So, just hearing people's reactions to it is pretty cool.
Man, I love the way that you're incorporating, like, your photography, where, you know, like, Sub Dog is you as a little kid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
Yeah, like, Is that intentional, the way you're doing it?
Yeah, it's intentional. So, like, each album, like, Sup Dog 1 is, like, when I'm probably around, like, 4.
Number 2. Overalls, yeah.
Yeah, when I'm 5. And then number 3 is actually the day where I got my first skateboard. So that photo was taken, like, on my birthday when I got my first skateboard ever. Wow. So I was around 8, so it was really special to me. Like, oh yeah, I'm gonna use this photo. Like, Sub.3, I'm doing skateboarding theme, so why not use the photo where it all start with everything? So it's like a homage, not only to skateboarding, but also a homage to me starting my musical journey.
Yo, man. Yo, it's so much music inside. Like, your chops are crazy, man. Like, yo, if I could get taught how to make music again, yo, you will be one. DiBiase will be another one. Mons Rock will be another one. It's like, it's a lot of people that can chop samples, and R&B is heavy in your music selection. Like, your samples, like, you chop a lot of R&B I grew up with. You know, you know what I mean? It's like, it brings goosebumps when I listen to it, because I was like, yo, I was at this place when I heard this song. I was there. I was at another place when I heard this song. You know, yeah. It's like, that's that nostalgia type of feeling. You know, it's, Yeah, you it's priceless, man. You can't you can't put a price on that, man. I can't even come up with the words right now for it, but you're doing amazing things with your music, man. Your chops and all of that. Your drum patterns, all that, man. Yo.
Thanks, man.
Listen, so last three questions, because I know you got things to do, man. Giving some thought, like who are your childhood beat maker, music producer, superheroes? But even right now, like as you're an adult, about to be, what'd you say, 28, 29 tomorrow?
Yeah, man.
So internets, man. Wish Mark Little a happy birthday tomorrow. Yo, don't you know what I mean? Y'all gonna hear this on Sunday, but yo, still wish him a happy birthday, yo. But who are your top five like beat maker superheroes that you're listening to like right now, besides, you know, the ones that you named already? Knowledge, Dilla, and MF Doom. Like who are you listening to right now?
Yeah, so right now, the top five. One, it's been Flying Lotus. I've been listening to him a lot lately. Going back to his older stuff too, like the Reset EP, Los Angeles, even his Captain Murphy stuff that he did. Even though there's all even though there's like other producers that did some stuff for it. Flylo. I've been listening to a lot of DiBiase lately. That dude, he's just, his chops are crazy. Like even with like the video game symbols he'd be using, it's just out of this world. Mm-hmm. Number three, I would have to say this one's a sleeper. It's DJ Shadow. I've been listening to Introducing a lot, like his most famous. I know everybody knows that one, but I don't know. I just love his DJing influence and everything that he does with that. Number four. Let's see. I'm trying to think who I've been listening to as a producers and stuff. I put him as a producer. Roy Ayers. He's a big one. Yeah, Roy's always been amazing. And number five, this is a wild card. I'm just trying to think of the top of my head, like what I've been listening to for the past week. Teddy Riley. I mean, the new Jack Swing stuff is pretty awesome. I feel like he doesn't get enough credit, you know? And my dad is also a huge fan of that stuff. And for a bonus one too, just a bonus one, RZA. I've been listening to a lot of the solo Wu-Tang albums, like Raekwon's Built for Cuban Links and Ghostface Iron Man. People don't talk about how crazy he went for those few years. Yeah. Like RZA is insane as a producer. Even the Grave Digger stuff, like it's fire.
Yo, man. Teddy Riley, yo, he definitely like, man, so many styles were birthed off of what he was producing at that time, man. Like,
Greed.
It's so crazy, man. It's so great. RZA, same thing. You know what I mean? Like, for him to produce the entire solo albums of like Method Man, Ghostface, Chef Raekwon.
Yep.
Who else?
ODB.
ODB's album, man. The whole Wu-Tang album, man. Like,
yeah.
Like, man.
For like a good 2 to 3, 4 years, like, he was just on one. It was crazy.
Man. Yo, man. Yo, amazing. Yo, you can't go wrong with none of the picks that you just picked, man. So, yo, I'm glad I got to ask you that. Before, I mean, well, you've been in music for what, 10 years now, maybe? 10 plus years?
I would say so. Yeah, 10 plus years.
Yeah. So, what's the one thing like you wish you knew before you even started creating music?
As corny as it sounds, there's no rules. You can progress whenever, how long you can do. You don't have to follow what everybody's doing.
Message.
I think for me, like the first 5 years, I was just following like what was the cool thing in my local area. And once I was trying to do that, it didn't feel authentic enough, you know? So once I got locked in with the collective I was with at the time, and they told me like, yo, if you just do your own thing, like it'll go way farther. Like people may not get it at first, but it'll work out. I was like, you sure? But you know, like I said, I was always a kid that didn't really fit in to anything. I always did stuff different. So once I started applying that to my music, the world was just mine at that point. So
yeah, you're a mutant, man. So mutants stand out from the rest of the normals, yo. You the red kind of mutant, yo. So listen, man. Okay, last question, man.
Yep.
And for once again, internets, man, Mark Little, man. So marklittle.bandcamp.com. Check out his discography. Marklittle.wave on Instagram, man. Check out his Instagram. I know you had to start all over, you know, because somebody hacked you, man. So
yeah. Bummer. I still got all my fans back, so it's chill though.
Okay, good. All right, good. Yeah. They followed you to the new joint. That's a good thing, man.
Yeah.
You spend time, energy creating this content and, you know, building relationships inside of these platforms, man, for somebody to do that. Man, it's like heartbreaking, but I'm glad you got your core back, your core fans back, yo.
Right.
And some new ones, because I'm a new one. I'm a new fan of you, man. And then the people that listen to this episode, they're going to be a fan too, man. So just prepare for that. Prepare for the, you know, the fire emojis to come up whenever you post a video, all that stuff, man. So,
for sure.
Okay, last question, man. Mark Little, man. So what should the internets look out for from you in the rest of 2023? You know, how can the internets tap into you and what you're doing?
Well, like you said before, my Instagram is marklittle.wave. So this whole summer right now, like I just been doing shows and DJ sets and stuff like that. So I got a bunch of shows coming up in the month of July. And then as far as music, I'll probably be releasing some like remixes, some flips of like once a month. So recently I just released on my SoundCloud a Mobb Deep flip I just recently dropped. It was oh man, I'm blanking on the original song. That's a shame. But yeah, like each month I'll release some flips, some remixes, some throwaway beats that I've had in the vault on my SoundCloud. As far as working on a new project, there is something brewing, you know, but I don't want to spoil too much. You know what I mean? I kind of want to keep it low key. Okay. I am putting like some final touches on it, but it won't be a while to just like release. So I am working on some stuff for sure. Working on some stuff with some other artists in my area and people around the country and stuff. So I got some stuff brewing.
Okay, I got you. Okay. I saw on a TV interview you had a CD of Subdog 3. Do you have like cassettes and CDs?
I have a bunch of copies of CDs and stuff. I actually made a post of that because I haven't yet. I just post on my story and I just sell my shows and stuff. So yeah, right now I have a bunch of CDs that people can buy. It's only $10, you know, nothing too crazy. So yeah, when this interview comes out, yeah, just send me a DM and yeah, I got you guys. So
yeah, man. Yo, Mark Little, you know what I mean? Beat maker, you know what I mean? Digital artist, man, skateboarder, DJ, like well-traveled a well-traveled man. You know, he's seen some things, different cultures and everything like that, man. I want to thank you for allowing me to spotlight you to the rest of the, you know, the mutants across the multiverse of beats. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your music, the music that you put out, man, because like, for I gotta go back into my Bandcamp. I gotta add you to my not the wish list, but when you buy it, my catalog. Yeah, so because right now, for the internets that don't know, everybody that I've like interviewed, like I've kind of got a piece of their music, and you can see my whole Bandcamp catalog on my website, man. Go to mindbeats.com. Check it out. That's where the Rec Show podcast lives now, man. So tap in, previous episodes, all that type of stuff. But Mark Little, man, it was an honor chopping it up with you, talking about you and your music and your musical journey. Thank you. And yo, this is only part one. It's going to be another. That's why I put part one, because I know it's going to be another part coming up, yo.
For sure, for sure. You know, and again, man, thank you for having me on here. I'm super grateful to be able to talk to you about my music. I really don't be doing interviews like that, like, because I'm just, like, nervous and stuff. But it was cool to, like, geek out on music and stuff with somebody. So, again, I appreciate you, dude. For real.
Everybody, so you listen, that is the show, man. Episode 101. We already into the hundos, man. I appreciate every single one of y'all, man, for tapping in, man. Hope y'all counting your blessings and not y'all's problems. I hope y'all are, you know what I mean, making the music you want to make and expressing yourselves in a positive way, you know what I mean. Build up, man, don't destroy, and support people that are building some amazing things, you know what I mean. Yo, hip-hop, man. 50 years, man. 50 years, man. Yeah. Anyway, man, yo, listen, thank you, Mark Little, for spending your time with me, man. Y'all tap into Mark Little. Check out the links in the description of the show. And if you want to support the show, click that support the show link, man. You can support that way, or you can go to goldenmindbeats.com and support the show that way. By Venmo. I think I got PayPal. I think I got Cash App in there, man. Any way y'all want to, man. But then also go ahead and rate the show, man. Give it, you know, 1 star if you don't like it. 5 stars if you do like it. And, yeah, man. Let's get, I guess we got to feed the algorithms, even though I always say, fuck the algorithms. You know what I mean? But, yeah, man. That's what we doing, yo. So, yeah. Until the next one. Some new albums are coming out right now, man. I got this new album called Yikes that's coming out real soon on the website, man. Then I got some hard copies too that I've been creating, man. Thanks to Pressing Matters. We did an amazing show on Friday. Beats and Beers, man, Austin, Texas. Yo, we showed our ass for real, man. Yo, man. Yo, amazing, man. But yo, y'all tap in with us. Follow on Instagram, follow on Twitter. Go ahead to the website as well and follow that way as well, man. I appreciate you, mutants. Peace and love, yo. Bow, 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 bow.
must make the night's fire bright. No need to fuss, no need to fight. If you didn't walk back, we'll stay far. When dinner been tunes and rides.
These lights represent every living person on the planet. White lights are humans. And these are the mutants.
They tell like younger kids or other producers like, that's cheating. You can't really do yourself, but bruh, like when it comes to this producing shit, you can do whatever you want.
You've been listening to the Rec Show podcast. Be sure to subscribe, like, and leave a comment. Remember three things. Believe in your music. Take care of your mentals. Become the best version of yourself. Until the next one, Golden Mind signing off. Peace and love, yo.
To be the best, you got to work overtime. To be the best, you got to work overtime.
These young boys getting better. This is not like the NBA when you can retire. Like this is, you have to keep going.